Nine Podcasts.
Let's go. In or out, brought to you by Lexus Blackburn, the all new Lexus LBX, Andrew Moore and the team. Right. It is a season over. Is it season over for the loser of Collingwood Hawthorn?
I think that could be in.
I think it's in.
Yeah. I think that could be in. Let's do the old mathematical chances.
Yeah.
It makes it extraordinarily difficult for the loser. It's nearly loser leaves town, pack it up, pack it in.
My only thing with the Pies is they keep just getting beaten. I mean, so they're in it till three-quarter time-ish and they fall away a bit. So I think the coach is coaching well. I think the club's in good shape. I just think they haven't got enough players going at the moment. And, you know, you get that ratio, don't you? I mean, Collingwood got about three blokes in there at the moment who have pulled off the street. Anyway, Hawthorn, they're playing pretty
well. Are you in or out on that?
I think all in on whoever loses is cooked.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it makes it really difficult. North is more likely to own the north of Melbourne instead of the Northern Territory, in or out.
Well, you know, that my position is they should.
Yes.
But I don't think they will. I think they'll go up to the Northern Territory and that'll get handed to them. That'll cause a little bit of indigestion down the road. But, North should be going north everywhere. Just taking over everything. Petrarca's loss is Trent Rivers' gain.
That is in. Trent Rivers is playing fantastic football in the absence of Christian Petrarca. But it's more through the midfield, not up forward, because Petrarca had split his time forward and mid. I still think Trent Rivers will be a star halfback flanker, but we're seeing he's got capability, of course, through the midfield that is very good.
Okay, here's one for the Luddites. We don't need roofs on stadiums because we would be lost without watching footy in the pouring rain in a poncho. I like wet weather footy, I must admit, but...
I love wet weather footy, but I'm actually now a wimp when it comes to the weather. Well, I've always been a wimp. I went and watched my son play in the rain and the mud. I used to love playing in the rain and the mud, but standing there on the sidelines in the rain and the mud, it wasn't much fun.
Were you wearing a long-sleeve jumper?
Tell you that. I couldn't put enough layers on. My feet were cold. I had beanie on. I had the jacket over the top of my head. I was freezing.
Give you an old trick, okay? Get a cardboard box. And you put your shoe on it and trace around the outside of it and put it inside and it stops the cold going through your feet. Your feet is where you get frozen on standing on the boundary line and at football. So somebody who's
still
at
to
7 o'clock at night, you know, watching training for many, many years. My dear old dad, it was a good one in Glasgow. If it worked in Glasgow to keep you warm, it was going to work in Australia.
So, I am going to do that later today. All I did was I grabbed his little brother and I just pulled him as close as possible like a penguin. I put him at my feet. I go, can you stand on my feet here and warm him up?
That's the other one by the way. If you're getting the cold at this time of year, rub Vicks into your feet. Make sure you wash your hands, otherwise you'll know all about it.
I was going to say, I have to put Vicks in your jocks. That'll give you something to think about.
Hey, hang on. Poms have just scored. Hello. 1-1.
Hello.
72nd minute. Something. They're back.
Jeez, there we go.
Just did our nuts on the share market there. We shorted them.
So that's an out for you that we don't need roofs?
No, if we can get roofs, have roofs is what I say. This is Australia. Yeah.
You want to do the next one?
I'll ask you. Charlie Kuehner really needs to grab a big game by the shorts before this year is over.
I'm out. Look, he's a two-time Coleman medalist. He's kicked a lot of goals. I'd love to see him get a hold of a big game because you love seeing big key forwards, big games. That's what draws us to the footy. I'd love to see it. So I'm sort of in and out. So he doesn't have to, but I'd love to see it.
It'd make it better if he did, though, wouldn't it?
Especially it'd be
the
awesome.
Finals last year. Yeah. All right, we won't see players tackling opposition to the ground in 2025.
Out. Yeah. Out.
I think they're
heading
this
still
way.
Happen.
Yeah, but I think
they wanted to go this way.
They wanted to go the stand-up tackle, don't they? But, all right, let's say. All right, send your questions to Ask Jimmy and Eddie, or Eddie and Jimmy, at Footy on 9, Facebook or X. Brett writes, is it concerning that when listening to Andrew Dillon, when he's asked what his legacy will be, he always just answers growth in participation and 10% revenue allocation to that? These were decisions already made before he became CEO. Yeah, but I think he was involved in making those decisions. He said, Brett goes on, do we therefore need a high-profile chairman to bring some innovation to the AFL Commission?
Well, your thoughts, Ed,
on who the high-profile chairman is. And who do you suggest?
I'll ask this to you, Ed, and it's not ignoring your question, Brett, but thanks for it. there is a bit of jockeying going on for the chairmanship.
There is.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
numbers are being crunched behind the scenes as we speak.
Do we have, without giving away your sources,
mm-hmm.
do we have a clear favourite? Do we have two that are battling? Do we have a three-horse race?
I think that the incumbent, Richard Gorder, wants to stay on. So mm-hmm. it's not necessarily going to be a position vacant. So whether or not somebody decides to roll the commission chairman, Terry O'Connor got rolled once upon a time when he was being actively trying to rub out Melbourne teams. And the AFL were told this is going to happen. Pull it up. We're not going to cop this. And they kept going down that track. And that was that one was a real smack to the commission. However, Bob Hammond was put in place, which is sort of a like-for-like, a South Australian version. So it wasn't a full-on revolt, but it got everyone's attention back in those days. It's going to be an interesting one. There are different factions, as we know, the non-Victorians, the non-Victorians on the East Coast, with the various academies, et cetera, going on. That's why there's a lot of noise about, round one next year and what they should be doing and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be interesting. I think, I would like to – I think if you're going to change the boss, I think you need to put a couple of others in as well so that it doesn't just go off in a direction. The thing yep. that's kept the AFL Commission going is that it hasn't become a lobby. I mean, you can lobby them, but they make their decisions. We just need to make sure we've got enough people on there who yep. know enough to make the right decisions.
And okay. and just to touch on your first point there, Brett, Andrew Dillon, that's the sort of the top-line approach, but all beneath it, and I just Ed and I are privy to a lot of this information, he wants to try and get back to increasing numbers. So then you obviously increase talent at AFL level, yeah. but then also you increase numbers in new areas, new markets. So that's why he's just saying
yeah.
participation is a big catch-all.
Yeah.
Because if you've got that up, well, then next time you go to TV media rights, you've got greater viewers in areas like Queensland, New South Wales, remote areas and things like that. That's his big grand plan. He's just calling it participation yeah. as a whole. Am I fair in saying that, Ed?
Totally agree. And look, that's the answer. Growth is the answer in football. We're seeing yeah. in the media where everything's getting cut at the moment, and we're getting so far cut that there's nothing to go on air. And that's why somebody like Andrew Dillon is exactly the person we need in there at the moment in some of these areas, because he actually knows the game and he knows that we need to grow more. We need to get more players, more kids playing, which means more families, particularly first-generation yep. Australians. And as a result of that, you're getting more people watching. It's yep. as simple as that. Jackson says, I keep hearing about Dean Cox and if the Swans will do a Hawthorn, put in a succession plan so they don't lose him. Should they? One, two, was Collingwood really pursuing Mitchell in 2021? I hear this narrative, but not from anyone at the Pies. Yes was the answer. I think they were having a good look at Mitchell. Dean Cox, what do you reckon? Should he take the job? That's basically what we're saying, West Coast Eagles?
Sydney? Well, I think he might be hanging around for a while. John Longmire would be thinking at least a grand final and a premiership this year. If that happens, you then plus another 3 years on top of that, don't you?
Yeah, you think so.
And John Longmire has shown many a times that he can coach cycles. So we've seen him up, and then he's done it extremely quickly too, by the way. And then he's looped around again, and now he's probably on his third loop. When you really think about the sides he's had.
They've got a very good setup. John Longmire, very, very good coach. Perfect up there in Sydney. And if you're Andrew Pridham, I don't think you're letting him go unless he's really got sick of it at some stage. But
That's the only way. It's if he says,
Right.
But Dean Cox, it's because of the relationship with Pikey right, over there at the West Coast Eagles. There was discussions being had with both of them going over there when Pike went over there. So he would be the front runner at this stage.
You can ask Keith's question for us, Jimmy.
Yes. There were a few obvious balls out of bounds last weekend. Where is the chip in the ball, Eddie?
Yeah, it's going all right. It's been tested as we speak. So it's you mentioned if we put the chip in the ball and it wasn't perfectly tested and working. So, yeah, we're going to hasten slowly on it, but it's going really well. And the vibe is it's working beautifully. So that's
what what's the big tick off that you need? Is there something in particular? Is it when it goes through for a point or a goal? Is it the technology, the feedback to whoever is watching.
It's got to get back to where it is. So it's in
the arc.
And get through the arc, but also the graphics, for the television, etc. There's a bit more to it than just, you know, it's like anything. You don't just invent the iPhone. This is the football equivalent of doing all this sort of stuff. So you've got to work it out. You know, make sure that the chip doesn't break or fall out or anything else. Imagine if it went through and said, oh, it's a goal, and, you know, it's nearly gone out of bounds on the full, like that goal umpire from hell that time up in Brisbane.
Yes. Hey, can you do me one favour?
Yeah.
When it's ready to launch, can you give me like one of those full on-stage presentations, like all the computer dorks when they present like their new bit of software technology, like Steve Jobs with the black turtleneck? When Bill Gates starts doing that weird dance where they all get up and they start presenting it and they're all clapping and high-fiving. I want to see something like that.
Well, we've got plenty of those guys who actually do all that stuff. Yeah. You know, I'm sort of just pushing it along a bit. Anyway, all right, now Liam says, can either of you explain to me why clubs would want to get rid of NGAs for new interstate clubs? Consider old clubs have access to father sons. Seems a no-brainer to help equalise.
Well, it's more the academies for the interstate clubs. All clubs have NGAs. Essendon's going to get a nice little NGA pick too, small forward to kick some more goals in the Vic Metro, Vic Country game on the weekend. He's a nice little small forward they got as an NGA. It's self-interest, Liam.
They've got to be careful.
It's self-interest.
The draft works when it works, you know, but if you're up to about the third round before you actually get a draft pick, it's going to be, you know, make a mockery of it all. I mean, it's at some stage, some kid who's, you know, is going to say, I don't want to play in Hobart or I don't want to play at Collingwood or somewhere. And
you can choose not to. You can choose not to take that selection. So we had that Mark Murphy could have been a father-son. He decided not to and went into the open draft.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that in general, if you're just Joe Blow and you're in a draft pick and suddenly, you know, 30 people in front of you have gone father, son, NGA, academy, all the rest of it, and it gets to you and you're off to parts unknown. You know, I think at some stage someone will take on the system on that. I hope it doesn't because it'll stuff it up completely. But
They can find their ways out of it. Like, I've got to be careful here, but I know of certain draftees who were going to go to clubs
and made it clear they weren't going to go.
And last sort of 24 hours made it very well known that, So clubs have balked at them. And then people in retrospect go, why didn't you take that guy? And go, well, if you're privy to what's happened.
Exactly, yeah.
So anyway, it goes on.
Yeah, which sort of you laugh at these days when you sort of have sons living overseas doing university. Suddenly it's the world's a bigger place as I look out the window here in Monaco.